Now, if we look at section 77 of our PFMA, it deals specifically with the requirements for constituting an audit committee for a department. So it outlines that one member of an audit committee must be from outside of the public service. The majority must not work within that particular employee of the department and, that we're talking about. And then the chairperson must not be in the employee of the department. But that is with regards to a department. Now, Cape Nature was constituted under the Western Cape Nature Conservation Board Act. And we are actually a Schedule 3C public entity, provincial entity. And if we look at our act, which we circulated, Section 9 of the act specifies the powers, functions, and duties of the board. And in a nutshell, it says that the board may establish committees to perform the various functions, and that these subcommittees and working group must perform the functions of the board. And also it specifies specifically that three members of the board must be members of the audit committee. So an audit committee is then established as a subcommittee of the board under the Act. However, our board charter also specifies that every committee must have a particular functioning charter. So the audit charter draws on Treasury regulations, and in particular Treasury Regulation 27, which says that we have this board members as part of our audit committee, but we also have independent members. So whereas our board, as we'll see later on, before I go there, then the charter under section 2 gives us the functions of the audit committee, which is in line with Treasury prescripts, and the section 4 then outlines the membership. And it says that minimum of three members and at least one of them or a third must be totally independent and not a board member. Currently our constitution is such that we have three board members as members of the audit committee, but we also have two totally external members who are not board members. So just in terms of comparing the department with a public entity like ours, Cape Nature in particular, we know that in a department you have a head of department and chief directors who are busy with the day-to-day management of the department. In an entity, we have myself as CEO and an executive team who looks at the day-to-day running of the entity. But we have board members who are there responsible for oversight and governance, and they are non-executive members. We are the executive, we have our non-executive members. And our non-executive members is our board members. Function totally in terms of the King Code of Corporate Governance, in that they steer the entity, provide strategic direction, look at the policy arena, ensures accountability, and oversees and see that we as the executive implement all the actions that we should be implementing. So in a nutshell, the question then is it legitimate for us to have board members as part of the audit committee? Yes, it is, according to our board act. However, we also function in terms of treasury prescripts, and in particular, we have totally independent members who are not members of the board who are also part of our audit committee, too. So in essence, our audit committee has five members, three board members and two independent members. Thank you, Chair.
Joseph?
Thank you very much, it's very clear. However, I have a concern. Although it's according to the rules and it's good, and it's actually a good learning exercise what you've given to us, but I still feel there's an imbalance of if you say, for example, that only two of the members is external. I would love to see it the other way around, so that more members on the board are of the external, because going to your earlier point on the charter's approval, it's almost like referee and player. You know, you have oversight over your own work. You know, that is a fact, I would think. But I think the regulations or the charter, whatever must change, should change to the point that we have the majority of the members, non-executive, not in the employment, not in the department. Then I would think there would be more, I think, peace of mind. Not that I doubt the integrity of what people are doing, but in general terms, from an outside perspective, I would love to see that the external members are the majority, than the members internal that serve on the board. That's just my view. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. I think that was specifically the point that we raised. You remember, specifically the point we were saying, and I mean, you've now given us the necessary legislation. But our concern last year when we engaged you was, can there be a bias, you know, because we are on the audit committee and we're sitting on the board, now we must identify key threats and all this, but I'm sitting on the board. How can I, you know, please tell us if it works, and why does it work, and what's the thinking, why must three members of the audit committees of the board of the whole committee, like Member Joseph's, why don't you have it? Now you have the majority of board members on the committee, but they must now look at the threats and all of these type of things, and they must look at these things. You understand what I'm saying? So just tell us, how does it work in practice? Does it work? Does it need to change? Because the law tells us one thing, but it might not even work in practice. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I must say that if you look at the constitution of our audit committee, we have our three board members, we have two external members, and we have our internal auditors who's external. Ian Y happens to be it now, can be whoever next. So they are there as well, and then we have the internal control. So at the moment it's working for us, in that our board members there are in any case non-executive. They provide the oversight, with internal audit being there as well as double assurance. So with the changing of the Western Cape Nature Conservation Board Act, which is currently going through its rounds, I dare say that might change. It's a very good suggestion to tip the balance. I agree, one could. Just another, not a spanner in the wheel, but something that we take into account is the fact that your external members who are not board members are paid much more according to treasury rates. So I don't know, Mohammed, you can provide us with the figures, but they get almost double the amount than a board member. So therefore, also to curtail our costs, we made it like that. But I must say that we could do that. Two board members, it's good to have. I found it useful to have the board members there for continuity. Because when you get to a board meeting, then your external members are not there. And to report at the board meeting, we have the executive, the board executive, the chairs from the various five committees reporting. And then there's nobody really. And it lands in the hands of an executive, myself then. So I found it very useful to have a non-executive member there, at least at the board meeting, to report on audit committee matters. So it is a very good suggestion to top the balance, to make it two and three rather than three and two. We can consider that most definitely. Thanks.
If I could just add, in South Africa, and we've got the King Codes of Corporate Governance, which stipulate how boards should act and in terms of ethics and principles, etc. So the King Codes define the governing body and it as a structure that has primary accountability in a public entity, that would be your board. in terms of the King Code of Corporate Governance, your board are all non-executive members. So in terms of, with regards to the King Code, it also stipulates that an audit committee should comprise of non-executive members of that governing body. So in our instance, to have the majority, even though it is a good suggestion to have external members, it's actually in line with the King Code of Corporate Governance that you're, or in a public company, for example, you would only have non-executive members of the board. So you wouldn't have an external, so if you had Coca-Cola, for example, they wouldn't have any external members sitting on the audit committee. Any audit committee members would be non-executive directors. So we have executives are the executives. We're not board members as such. So we are responsible for the day-to-day management. The board is their responsibility, their primary responsibility is governance and oversight, and which is the function of the audit committee from a financial aspect.
Listening to the responses, do you think the motivation for having it weighted in your favor, would that have been a financial decision more than an oversight decision? It is more to keep your costs down than having oversight. I'm in no way doubting that those members who serve, they are not doing the oversight work in the manner that they should. But you've just said now that external members are paid a lot more. Is that one of the reasons why, Kwaku?
Member Joseph?
Thanks for the explanation. I think, although the term non-executive I understand, my question now would be, when the board sits, or the audit committee, and they must make a decision, do those members have decision-making powers? You know, so that's important for me. Because does the committee have to make decisions or recommendations? Because that's where I pose the question that it should be the other way around. If it's just an advisory committee to a higher structure, then it's not a problem. But at the same time, it means that there could be challenges, as the chairman said, and you protect your own interests, even if you advise from an operational point of view. You know, so I think for me, in terms of the way how we understand democratic structures, and in government in particular, to protect the interests of the public, it would give a better perception out there if it is the other way around. And my question is, who would initiate that kind of proposal that you agree with, what we are saying as a committee? Will it come from your side, or from where must it come from? From this committee later, or internally you can deal with that? Okay, thank you.
How about you?
Thank you very much. In terms of Anupam Beerwinkel's question, it's not actually totally financial. Financial is a one factor, but it's not financially motivated. It is just that we were not contravening any law, and therefore we thought, you know, they are non-executives, whether they're independent or board members in any case. And we just thought it prudent to also bring in the treasury ranks to make sure that we also have totally independent people, not just non-executives, but totally independent, and hence the two members in addition. But one could, and your question as to initiate this, maybe looking at two and three rather, no, it can be motivated. It's a very good suggestion in terms of going forward. Let's look at a tilting in balance, less board members who are in any case non-executive, and more independent members who are also non-executive, but they have nothing to do with the board. That is totally fine, and I think it's a very good suggestion, in fact, to pursue.
Board committees don't make decisions. They only recommend. The board makes the decision. So to me, it doesn't really matter how it's weighted, because all they do is discuss things and they make recommendations, and then the board makes the final decision. They can agree or not. So
I'm everybody's covered. I think that's the end. Thank you very much. Good explanation. And now we're clear. Don't ask the same questions next year. Good. Now we're just going to do the minutes, and then I just have one topic that I want to discuss with you guys. And then, thank you very much. Two. So look at the gender quickly. You know, maybe people who were absent so long, remember Joseph? I don't know if they're part of this committee any longer.
Oh, remember Beagle was there last week.
Oh, okay. But Wednesday the 29th of August, page 123. Is there, look at the resolutions, are you happy with that? The others is just page 1 and 2 is just that, just check if you were here. And then the resolutions you must check. Remember Chasam, do you read the resolution, you happy? Remember Bivaka?
Yeah.
Okay, can we have a sec? Amendments, here, go. Go, Member Bichon.
Stated that you want to, on behalf of the committee, congratulate the department on their win, and that's not captured on the awards for human settlement. You said that.
As it is,
because
of the resolution. Yeah, it's a resolution. Okay, take it as a resolution. Okay, thank you. We're gonna. I'm gonna sign the letter. Send the letter off to them. I don't. Oh, remember, people don't think it's not a resolution. That's all. Oh, yeah, remember Joseph, you were not here.
Yeah, no, we agree. I see my name as an apology, but I just want to get clarity on the resolution on 521. The AG briefs it on the scope of the audit for 1819 financial year. Because we're running into the current 1819 financial year. So, is that right? I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Is that this current year?
Yeah.
So, whatever is completed of the current year, that was it. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
The resolution about the letter.
Of the letter.
The letter came on the basis that the department would take a picture with the committee. So that so it's the exchange. Give us the picture, get the letter.
No, what? No,
member, we will include it. Member Joseph?
See, I think to just latch on to what Member Joseph is saying, that perhaps we should say that the scope of order for the 2018-19 quarter, whichever we quarters we in, so that they can come and brief us on that, on the emerging risks. Because as it reads now, it's left a yearly year, but class.
She offered to do it for the whole year.
So she's going to predict the emerging risk.
She did.
But isn't that her role, their role?
So, Ron, Adams, you look like Adam, we can see what we get from them, eh? Because that is what she's told us. Okay. Thank you very much, Prue. Thank you. Thank you. With amendment. Thank you. Members, I just want, got one issue. I've just got one issue that I want to raise quickly is this this muscle bay thing that we had some time ago. I had a letter, an email, I must phone the lady back now. I had an email last week where somebody, remember, I don't know this lady, I don't know how she got my email. But she sent me an email to ask how far we were this muscle bay story with Tate Skillingly. So two, it's either last week or the week before that, Minister Plato came to me while I was sitting there in my bench, and he said to me, the matter has not been concluded, he will give it to me. I've asked his office yesterday again to give it to you guys, while we, I didn't receive it yet, so that we can make a decision to close the matter, or so we'll write to him now, Justin, again. So he said now that he'll talk to me tomorrow about it. But he could write again the letter and ask them for it. But this lady wants to know what's happening because she stays in Mossel Bay and all of that. But I'm going to tell her that I did speak to the committee. We're asking the minister to give us a written explanation. At our next meeting, we will then sit and determine how far we are. Is that fine? So I will speak to her because she phoned me about 15 times. So I don't know. I've not spoken to her. Jackie spoke to her 15 times with me. Yes?
Just a three-sentence recap. The lady, Mossel Bay, have no clue what are you saying. You're speaking French.
Just a 9 million rand office refurbishments at Dowell. That was it. The liquor board. What's that building? It's old Dowell. What's that building then? Sundowell. So we saw it in the paper actually. Remember, I saw it in the paper and I brought it to committee. And then it's a 9 million rand that was saying irregular expenditure. And then we asked the AG to come in, but then the department appointed forensic services for investigation. So they gave us a first report and a second report. And then when we got the department in, they said, but it's not concluded, the investigation is not concluded. So I'm waiting on that for Minister Plato now to tell us what did they find, and then we, as committee, will then decide what we're going to do. So it's a 9 million rand refurbishment at the liquor office, liquor and what's it called? Western Cape Liquor Offices, that is what it is. Yes, Member Mitchell?
Just for interest sake, how do I get something onto the agenda for SCOPA?
And then we must get a slot. Member Mitchell? This is Member Mitchell? You must remember there's maybe one slot still open, the 6th of September, that are kept open, so we can still add, like I always say, do you remember what I say? This is a moving target. I propose, and we propose, this is the agenda going forward, but we can chop and change, because things change. So that is the attitude that I have from the start. Member Bill?
Can I consult
with my witness? I consult my because I don't see the back of member Bianco. Member Mitchell?
The reason why I want to raise this is because, and now you can call me that I'm being biased because it's my constituency, but so be it, but that's why we're here. So tomorrow I've got a question for oral reply in the House. Depending on that, the answers as provided by the minister. I really think that SCOPA, because there's a lot of money allocated from the Department of Human Settlements to Beaufort West Municipality. And I mean, we all in our constituency, so we know what's going on the ground. And I think it's important because it's a lot of money. I mean, I'm not saying it must be on the next agenda. We could perhaps discuss, finalize it at the next meeting, pending the outcome
of tomorrow. Basically, we discuss it here, and we then decide, is it going on, or we discuss it here, and that is usually what I do. First, Member Churchill first, and then you, okay.
Then, sir, I think you are right, Chairperson. When we are dealing with issues, as I have done in the past, we must be direct, specific, and detailed the issue. I raised the issue of one of Scottsdale at some stage. I raised the issue of Manenberg at some stage. But you have to be specific so that we all members are on board in terms of that.
Put your microwave on, I'll just say he's going to screw you.
The microwave. Vimashacham is a victim of this kind of thing, where we once before wanted to put something here, we were told no. The standing committee must deal with it first, and then it will come here.
But that's what I'm asking.
So, this is what I was talking about now. There's something that our standing committee is being deal with. Yes, you remember the issue.
I'm not disputing that. I'm saying sometimes it's not financial. Then I say it must go to the standing. But if financial, are we get involved?
Even though it's not been at the standing committee.
Even if it's not being at the standing committee, I get involved. It says so.
You must remember
there was an issue that we wanted brought and we were voted. There was a vote to say it mustn't come on the agenda. But we debated that school issue. Can you remember about the school that wasn't properly rated and all of those stuff? And then we came here and then Chief Whip of the DA came in. And they voted against us because we were for to put it on the agenda. So this committee decides what's on the agenda. So I'm just saying, you remember. So we did bring it up, but the DA being the majority voted that it must not be on the agenda. Am I right? That is what happened. Member Mitchell?
Okay. Chair, in the interest of moving forward, I'll consider and then I'll bring it here with all the facts, and because I agree with Member Chacham. We must discuss it, because when we started this meeting I said we don't play politics here. Tomorrow we play politics, but in committees we are one committee. So I would as a committee we can then decide if it needs to go on to the agenda or not.
Okay, so then you are saying you want to have a discussion about that topic before it goes on the agenda. But then I also have something, Chair, that I would like to put.
But we always do that. We are old member of the committee. Why is it new to you now?
Yes, sir.
Member Vivica, over to you.
Something.
It's true.
Yeah.
Two new things, Chairperson. Like Member Mitchell wants to put something on the agenda for discussion in case it can become an item. It's the jobs fund, tourism jobs fund of Swaziland. Tourism jobs fund allocation to Suriname for tourism. That's the one. And the other one is the state of tourism in Suriname.
We'll discuss it in the next meeting. If it's going to come on. No, you're not saying that you want to hear tomorrow. So then we just discuss it on. You can send me something also. Send Dustin something and we can put it on and discuss with the next. So you don't have to wait till the next meeting. You can just send the coordinator and say put it for discussion on the next meeting, then you cover it. Is that fine? Members, is there anything else? Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Now, if I'm going to tomorrow, what is the debate tomorrow?